Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris on the Paracast, we have George Knapp joining us. Of course, he's spent a lot of time investigating the strange goings-on at the Skinwalker Ranch. So there's the question there. Do you think it's the fact that we have so much resources expended there that so much happens? Is it a reflective phenomenon? What?
That's a great question. I don't think I've ever answered that before, but I'll just get philosophical for a second. It's sort of like if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it kind of a question. There are a lot of quantum physicists who are exploring these kinds of questions as we speak. Is the universe affected by observation? Is it created basically for our viewing pleasure? If we weren't here to watch it, would it be the same? And I think that's a legitimate question, and I suspect it has substance to it. I'm certain that in part this is a reactive phenomena on the ranch, that interactive, that a lot of what happened and what was observed is because these guys were there focusing on it. I also suspect that if you were to focus those kind of resources in any particular area, you might find it wouldn't be everywhere, but certainly a lot of other places. One of the reasons that Bigelow sort of gave me the green light to write about the ranch and to publicize some of the things that happened is because the activity went underground for a long time. The level of activity went way, way down, and they were interested in seeing if there were other places, particularly in the West, that were similar things that had been reported that they could go and study. And sure enough, when the story came out, all of a sudden I get flooded with stuff about, that happened here. There was a place in Colorado. I think one of your listeners had written something about a ranch in there that they looked at near Dulce. They spent a lot of time with the Jicarilla Apache tribe there. A lot of the same kinds of things that were reported in Utah around the ranch had occurred around there. They never found any secret underground UFO base and do not believe that that is in fact true, that the one such exists. But the Apache tribe there described a Bigfoot type encounter, strange creatures, animal mutilations, ghostly apparitions, skinwalkers, the kinds of things that we investigated at the ranch. Same thing around Chris's area, Sedona. The same kind of things were reported there. Tom Dongo, I think, wrote a book about it. And then up in Yakima. There always seems to be kind of a Native American connection, but what we found out was, yes, in fact, there are many other places where there's an intense amount of paranormal type activity, and I use that in quotation marks. It's not everywhere, but it's a lot of places. And I think if you were to focus the kind of resources that were put on the ranch, you would probably encounter more of it and in fact, encourage that kind of activity. The stuff that the NIDS guys told me about, and I never saw any of it for myself, but it was almost playful at times. This thing would mess with your heads. It wanted to stay one step ahead of them. For a while, they thought they were going to be able to communicate with it. They did experiments to try to establish some kind of a basic language between whatever it is. Never went anywhere. And eventually, whatever this thing is, whatever this intelligence was, got kind of ticked off and made its displeasure known. It ripped up the cameras and did some other kinds of fairly hostile things, and then it went away. It was like it took its ball and went home. It did not like being stalked. It liked being in charge. It liked scaring people. It liked being unpredictable, but it really didn't like the idea that these guys were honing in on it. That's incredible information to wrap your head around.
Sounds like a nasty pet. Okay, fast question here. This is actually the second question, but you mentioned about possible other events elsewhere, from Steve C. Are you still going to release a documentary about the Skinwalker Ranch with pictures and videos that you've not shown yet or held back? It's been about 8 years since you said you were going to release it, and still no one has seen it. Is it Mr. Bigelow keeping you from releasing it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, he can't order me not to do it, but he asked me not to do it, and I honored it. And here's why. The book came out and has caused so much trouble at the ranch. I mean, it came out every single night. There are trespassers out there, kids and UFO nuts who come out. They get drunk. They throw trash all over the place. At 2 o'clock in the morning, they're creeping out into the property using flash bulbs and taking photos in the window of the people who live there, the caretakers. They have caused so much vandalism. I mean, it was not that long ago somebody came up to the main gate and put a rope around it and tore it off its hinges. And it's caused so much trouble that Bigelow has had to put 24-hour security up there. He's got these team of these ex-commando guys who can live in the jungle and eat bugs for a week, and ex-special forces guy who work for his aerospace company. And he has a regular rotation and takes them back up there just to keep people from messing with the property. There's also the question of liability, is because they're not quite sure how this entity or intelligence or whatever it is going to react. You know, it's shown it's capable of doing some pretty horrible things to animals. And if something happened to a person, there'd be a lot of trouble. So, yeah, I've decided to give up on it. I've saved all the footage. I hope that one day I'd be able to release it, because I put a lot of my own time and money into this thing. And I hope we'd be able to do something with it. But for now, it's too much trouble.
Okay, question from Tom707. I'd like to know what kind of tangible evidence is available from Skinwalker Ranch. Sounds like it's a gold mine for researchers, yet I haven't heard about hard data having been collected. Might be my ignorance. These areas like Marley Woods and Hestelin all seem to hold promise, but somehow they fail to deliver. Do you think it's just a matter of deploying the right technology and all would be revealed?
Well, no, I don't. And because the NIDS people had a pretty big debate within them internally before they deployed to the ranch about what approach to take. There were those who wanted a passive approach. Hey, let's don't go technological. Let's go with psychics or shaman or remote viewers and see if we can reach out to this thing that way. The other point of view was, let's go in with cameras and detection equipment and scientific gear and see if we can find evidence. That's the viewpoint that worked. And there's a lot of second guessing about whether it was a good idea or not. Because, look, if you don't buy the premise that this intelligence is capable of messing with people's minds, of staying one step ahead, of sort of, anticipating what's happening, if you don't buy that premise that this thing could do that, whatever it is, then it's really probably a waste of your time to be reading the book in the first place. But that is what happened. These guys went with all this equipment. Initially, I guess it depends on what you consider evidence. They got video and photos of objects flitting around in the sky. Problem is, most of it happens at night, so you've got a ball of light in a sea of inky darkness with no real reference point, and it's not very valuable. Cattle mutilations happen. These animals were cut up. There's video of them. They've taken samples that were taken to labs. The one case in particular happened at 10 o'clock in the morning within full view of the rancher and his wife. This calf was completely stripped of flesh in a matter of minutes. Its body was taken somewhere else, carved up, and then brought back and dropped. They took it to a lab. They analyzed what was used, the cutting instruments. There were two that was used, one that was like a sharp scalpel, one that was a heavy cleaver. That's evidence of sort. The carcasses themselves were evidence. There were, instrumentation malfunctions. They had compasses that would spin around in circles. They had gear that went out. They had something that crawled up the telephone poles and ripped the guts out of all these cameras in full view of another camera that was recording it. Whatever had done it, it was invisible. Now, is that evidence? I think it is. I can't give you this evidence. I can't show it to you, but it exists, and I've seen it, and we wrote about it, and I interviewed the people who collected it. Their testimony, scientists with PhDs, people who do not have an agenda, they just want to know what's going on, the Native Americans who've lived there for a couple of centuries, the neighboring ranchers who've seen this stuff for 50 or 60 years, their testimony counts. The tracks of these Bigfoot-type creatures that have been seen. There's lots of different kinds of physical evidence. It's all mentioned in the book, but yet I get that kind of question all the time. Well, where's the physical evidence? I don't know what it is that you want. You want a body of a skinwalker? You want me to walk Bigfoot into the room? You want the saucer, proverbial saucer on the White House lawn? I don't have it.
We have George Knapp answering your questions from our listeners posted at the Paracast forums. You go to forum.theparacast.com. When we know we're going to have the guests in advance, as we did with George Knapp, we will post an item in the question bank about it. You can ask any question you want, and we'll ask them. We'll try to get to most of them. You can also contact us on Twitter, where we are known as The Paracast. We are The Paracast on Twitter. George Knapp joining us. You're in
The Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it, with what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts. If you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Youngevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Glidden. I'm doing the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll see you at the Youngevity Conference in May.
Hi, this is pharmacist Ben Fuchs, and I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I will be there.
Hi, I'm MZ Michael Zwirling, owner of KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and you bet I'll be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge, and don't miss the Youngevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. That's 877-532-5388 or FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
With Gene and Chris, we have George Knapp answering your questions from the question bank. And I've got some fascinating ones here. And there's one question I'm not going to ask at this point, but we'll get to it in a moment. We have someone named InfoLad1 who calls himself Purveyor of Hidden Things. Oh, yeah, I think we'll have to talk to this InfoLad.
Yeah, I'm ready.
This InfoLad's got to have to answer some questions. Okay, Chris, you want to ask this one?
We have several questions from InfoLad, who's been a longtime poster at forum.theparacast.com, And first of all, he thanks you for your time and for being on. And his first question is, has there ever been any extensive research done or interviews of Skinwalker Ranch owners prior to the Shermans? Of course, my interviews aside, I guess. Someone else put those locks up, he mentions.
Yeah, there has been some research. The NIDS people started by talking to Terry Sherman. Well, actually, Tom Gorman's the name we use, but I think that the cat's out of the bag. Talking to him about the weird conditions that the ranch had been empty for 7 years, I think, when the Gorman family moved onto it. And as we mentioned in the book, I mean, when they came up to the house, they had these big stakes with big chains on both doors, as if there'd been guard dogs. There were locks on both sides, locks inside the house, locks on cabinets, as if these things, moved around a little bit on their own, which, as the rancher and his family soon learned, was exactly the case. Now, the rancher said that when he signed the deal, the deed, that the previous owners insisted, one of the conditions they said is no digging. If you're going to do any digging on the property, you have to get our permission or let us know first. And he just thought, wow, these are just quaint, old, weird people. And he kind of chuckled to himself. And then later, after things got weird, he started wondering about what might be buried or what the consequences of digging in the ground might be. The first time I went to the ranch, it had been after a period of lack of activity. And Colin Kelleher told me, look, one of the things that gets, there's a couple of things that get things stirred up at the ranch. One is the arrival of new people. And they thought, I have an inherent weirdness quotient. Maybe I would attract whatever it is back to the property. They said, you make a bunch of noise out on the land. That sometimes gets it going. But nothing gets it going like moving around the earth, digging in the earth. So the night I went there the first time, we made a bunch of noise. We built a campfire out there and kind of danced around it. We got an earth mover equipment, a big bucket on this tractor, and moved a bunch of dirt around. Yeah, so if there was some sort of skinwalker or spirit or something, we did their best to get its attention. And then they took me and put me on a little plastic white chair and stuck me out in the middle of this field in total darkness. And it's a field where cattle had been mutilated, where this predator-type creature had appeared, where a giant blob kind of thing came out of the trees, and they left me down. They went a couple hundred yards away and had a camera on me to see if something came to get me. And nothing did except for mosquitoes.
So, well, if someone came to get you, George, we wouldn't have heard from you anymore.
That's true. That's true. So anyway, one of the things we did in researching the book was to figure out what was going on with this family. We found some of the surviving members living in Salt Lake. And they were very hostile. They wanted to answer no questions about the ranch. They've been incredibly hostile since the book came out. We've never had any kind of experiences. The neighbors that we all interviewed said that the people that had lived there had developed some sort of relationship with the phenomena, that there was a live and let live kind of thing that they developed over time. But this family, the remaining members of the family, did not want to talk about it. The rancher, the male rancher, had died. His wife, I guess, had lived there for a while, and she was gone. But the people who were in Salt Lake City, that family, they were very hostile to the stories that we eventually published. They were very hostile to any kind of questions about things they might have seen on the property. So it ended up being kind of a dead end for us.
Do you have any opinion on Dr. Eric Walker and the various correspondences with him?
Yeah, I do. I have had a chance to correspond a great deal with Grant Cameron. In fact, we interviewed him on television a week or so ago.
We had Grant on the PowerCast just 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Good guy. I mean, I like the work he does. You know, he's a pretty thorough guy. He's been at this a long time, not sensational. Don't you agree, Gene?
He has a pretty straightforward argument to make there. There are a few questions I felt he could have answered better, but I think in general he had a pretty good interview there.
I think that he did some pretty good work on this Eric Walker stuff. I mean, he wouldn't take no for an answer. He got this lead from other sort of insiders who said that Eric Walker was a guy who would know about it, who was in some of these meetings about crashed saucers and recovered material and the secret that was classified higher than the H-bomb. They initially got a couple of really interesting reactions from the guy before he clammed up, in which he seemed to confirm what they were saying. At some point, either somebody whispered in his ear, told him to shut up or whatever, because he became totally uncooperative. But he gave some tantalizing little tidbits that suggested that they were on the right track. And I think what Walker said is reinforced by what Sarbacher, Wade Sarbacher, had to say, what Wilbur Clark, or the guy from Canada, Wilbert Smith, what he had told the researchers and told his own government. I think that's legitimate info. I'm sorry that Dr. Walker didn't reveal more before passing along.
InfoLad's last question is, what are your views on the research and conclusions of the late Carla Turner?
Is this the my lab, the underground military lab stuff? Yeah, I think that if I'm not mistaken, I'm trying to remember Carla Turner, but I think her research focused on abductions, in particular abductions where the abductees reported being in facilities where there's both aliens and military type folks. And to tell you the truth, I haven't done enough work to be knowledgeable in answering it. I try to keep an open mind on all this stuff. Carla Turner had a pretty good reputation, and so I don't want to cast judgment on it, but I really don't know enough to say whether I believe it or not.
We have so much more to ask, George Knapp, and I'll just plow through the questions here. We're going to have to break
sure.
in a moment, but let's go briefly to Bob Lazar. Okay. All right. Now, before we go on with this, we have several questions on Bob Lazar from Ricky, who is a regular poster, and that is Lazar still active in making his claims about his encounters at Area 51?
No, and he hasn't been for a long time. I mean, he did it with me, and he did a couple of other interviews back there. It'll be 25 years next year. It was November of 1989 was when we first revealed who he was. May of 1989 is when we did the first interview with him, blacked out silhouette as Dennis. And so 25 years next year, he did those interviews then. He did a couple more after that. But basically, he hates every bit of it. He didn't like UFOs before he got into the program. He doesn't like them since. I saw Bob about 2 months ago. He came to town. First time he's been to Las Vegas in, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And it was nice to see him. It was nice to talk about something other than Area 51 or S4 or flying saucers. But he is quite happy to have left that all behind. Has no interest in talking about it at all. I think I'm going to try to have to coax him into talking about it next year for the 25th anniversary. But with Bob, it all depends on the mood he's in, you know, because he is the most reluctant UFO messiah you've ever run into.
We are going to be very reluctant if we don't do this break. George Knapp joining
okay.
us. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Chicago is a virtual battlefield. More than 500 shooting deaths in 2012 have made Chicago the murder capital of America. Proof that gun control doesn't work. Disarming law-abiding citizens ensures that only criminals have guns. And Rahm Emanuel and the Chicago machine want to keep it that way. If we can't stop them in Chicago, we may lose the whole battle. But there's hope. On April 9th, we have a chance to send billionaire Mike Bloomberg, Rahm Emanuel, and his Chicago machine a crystal clear message that we have a natural right to defend ourselves, our homes, and our families, and that they need to keep their hands off our guns. Illinois Republican Paul McKinley is sending that message in a bitterly fought special election to replace disgraced ex-rep Jesse Jackson Jr. Every vote, every voice in support of Paul McKinley is a stand against the gun-grabbing Chicago machine. Will you stand up and defend your gun rights? Call 800-979-1555. 800-979-1555. That's 800-979-1555. 800-979-1555.
Paid for by Tea Party Leadership Fund PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. The Tea Party Leadership Fund.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver. UtopiaSilver.com or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com. Taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gina and Chris on the Paracast, George Knapp joining us. He's an investigative journalist, award-winning, and he explores our crazy little subject all about UFOs. So I was asking about Bob Lazar, and we have six questions from Ricky I'm going to ask now. Number one, has Lazar shown any actual proof of his claims?
Well, I guess it depends on what you consider to be proof. You know, I've had that question before. If there was nothing to it, I can tell you that I wouldn't have spent 24 years working on it. But there's lots of proof. I don't know what proof people would need. I guess it's whatever would convince a reasonable person that something is true or real. And I think that Bob and his claims have met that many times over. All right, the first thing that Bob knew was where the tests were going to take place. He took people out on a Wednesday night, 3 weeks in a row, different groups of people, and each time this saucer-like craft came up over the mountains in the area of where he said S4 was, the place where he worked, this big glowing object that performed maneuvers, and then they'd go back down. And you have to ask yourself, well, I mean, there had been no stories about Wednesday night UFOs. How did he know? The tests were the last time they videotaped this thing, and I've shown the tape on the air a couple of times. How did he know? Secondly, how did he know there was a place called S4? There's no reported incidents of anybody referring to a place called S4, and yet it really is a true place. I confirmed it with Nellis Air Force Base. It really did exist. Thirdly, he knew about something called the OFI. He said at first he thought he had a background investigation by the FBI, and then he found a card for the guy who had come to question him during a security clearance, and it was a guy named Mike Thigpen for an agency called OFI, which I had never heard of, and I'd been here a long time. But OFI, in fact, is the Office of Federal Investigations. They do background checks for people that went to work at Nellis Air Force Base and the Nevada test site. And Mike Thigpen really turned out to be a guy who worked for them. How did Bob know? How did he know about the inner workings of Area 51, how you got there? I've had a couple of people who worked out there who put him through their paces and ask them questions, not about like, where are the saucers, that they'd ask them questions about, where's the cafeteria? What color is the paint? How do you pay for your meals? That kind of stuff. And he passed. He also passed a polygraph, four of them. We did one examination when, and I'm just telling you, Gene, I lived through this stuff, and it was weird. It was a weird time. It was a scary time. We were being followed around. Our phones were tapped. They were really messing with Bob. There were break-ins in his house. A couple of times when he'd come home, they had been in messing with his house. They'd wipe the things off of his blackboard, move things around. One time he goes to the gym with a friend. He's got a gun. He was carrying a weapon in his glove box. He comes out. The doors to his car are open. The windows are down. The glove box is open. And there's the gun just sitting there. It wasn't a burglary. It was somebody just messing with him. I've been to his house when he'd get home and was all kind of freaked out. And there he is walking around with an Uzi ready for trouble. This stuff was real. It was really going on. It's hard to convey to people who weren't there what it was like, but it was a really intense time.
I gather from talking to you very quickly here, George, is that you believe Bob Lazar?
Well, I do. I believe him to this extent. I believe he's telling the truth as he knows it. I don't know that it's an objective truth. I don't know that everything that he read in these briefing documents are real as opposed to something he was being fed because they figured he would go ahead and leak it to somebody. I suspect that that might be it. I suspect that he, in a sense, might have been really qualified. He's not a PhD. He's not the most qualified scientist in the world, but he's a really bright guy who has eclectic interests, hookers and machine guns and explosives and stuff that's just quirky enough that he'd be easy to discredit. He had a financial interest in a brothel for a time, and then he got hooked up with an illegal brothel. So eventually they were able to discredit him, get him in legal trouble, and push him down the road. But he knew a heck of a lot of stuff that nobody else had ever said before that we now know is true. He also passed a polygraph. I took him to this guy, Terry Tavernetti. He's still the head of a major security operation for a major casino. He does polygraph tests on employees to make sure that they're screened and they're proper to work there. He put Bob Lazar through the ringer on the central questions. Did you see flying saucers? Were they in these hangars? Did you deal with Element 115? And Bob passed. And it wasn't a close call. It was flat out passed four of these exams. How did he do it? By the way, Terry Tavernetti, months later, had a break-in at his house, and the only thing they took were those polygraph test results. He's a former police officer, a credible guy. His name is well-known here in this town, and I think his testimony goes a long way. So how did Bob know? And here's the last bit of proof, and I don't know if it persuades your listeners or not, but Bob got into trouble with these hookers. You know, he came to me one night, and he said, by the way, I met this hooker, and I helped her set some security gear and some cameras up in her little brothel. And by the way, this brothel's on the same street where you live. I said, what? I mean, my professional life is flashing before my eyes and thinking, oh, my God, here goes my career. I'm going to crash and burn. I said, you can't be serious. I said, let me see it. I don't believe it. Let me see it. And he showed me this place. I said, you got to shut this down now. He said, the cops already know about it. A couple of these vice detectives know this hookers. He's been in business for years. I said, you got to shut it down anyway. You know you're being followed around. Somebody's going to break this open. You've got to do it, and I've got to do it before they do. So I called the police. I told them, look, it's going to be shut down. Anyway, they decided to bust Bob anyway. We didn't. Back in those days, not a whole lot of pimps got busted in Las Vegas, not a whole lot of hookers either. But they looked at Bob like public enemy number one. Parole and probation grilled him about his background. And this is the time, if you're the UFO con man, this is the time you come clean, because he told them the same story he told me, where he had worked, where he'd gone to school, who he worked for, what he did. He was looking at serious time. They recommended that he do more than a year in prison because they were mad at him. They thought, this guy's lying to us. He's told us all this stuff. And then gradually, some other things happened. Congressman Bill Bray from Nevada tried to help me get information that would help his case. He said, I've never run into a case like this. The FBI told me that he's a real guy, but I have no need to know about what his background is. That's what they told the congressman. You know, a lot of things like that. If Bob were a liar, that was the time to come clean. And in fact, he stuck to his story. I don't expect people to believe it. I have problems with some of it myself. For example, his educational claims. But do you throw the whole thing out? If you believe that he's lying about his education, do you throw the whole thing out? Do you ignore all the other kinds of proof that he came up with? You know, there's people like Stanton Friedman, who I respect a great deal, who did research on their own after the story came out. And, Bob wasn't at Los Alamos Lab. He doesn't have a degree. I reported that in the very first story, that mentioned Bob's name. We reported that and let the cards fall where they may. I think he's telling the truth as he knows it. Is it the absolute objective truth? I don't know about that. It's more complicated.
Well, just the thing about the degree bothers me, because let me give you an example here. Just, I guess, last year, year before that, we learned that one prominent UFO paranormal researcher, Phil Imbrogno, had fake degrees. His degrees were not real. We exposed that fact with the help of one of our regular listeners. So that, of course, ended that guy's career. But the question being here, now we have Lazar. Supposedly, we can't verify his educational claims. And when you see things like that, you have to say, well, wait a minute. If this guy's not telling the truth about his education, why believe anything he says? And is it really possible, for example, for intelligence experts to wipe away a person's entire educational history?
Well, if you ask my opinion, I don't think those degrees are real. I've, as his friend of a long time, I've given the opportunity to ask, to answer that. I said, look, Bob, you know, this is a good time to come clean on this. If you told a fib in order to get a job, and the fact is, he would not be the first person to exaggerate his credentials or background in order to get a great job. And he has never taken me up on the opportunity. I always thought the problem I had with Bob's claims about getting those degrees is, to get a degree at a place like Caltech or MIT, you have to take other classes. You know, you can't just take science classes, which is what he's good at. You have to take literature. I couldn't imagine Bob sitting through World Lit 101.
I'll tell you what, we're going to be World Nothing 101 if we don't do this break with George Knapp.
Okay.
You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
What's next? If you're not prepared, you're not self-reliant. Join us in Texas for the Self-Reliance Expo, Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th. Learn self-reliance skills including food and water storage, emergency power, beekeeping, canning, and much more. Look, feel, touch, and taste at this family-friendly event. Many guest speakers, longevity information, and Dr. Joel Wallach speaks on Saturday. Don't miss the Self-Reliance Expo, Arlington Convention Center, Arlington, Texas, April 26th and 27th. Tickets and schedule at selfrelianceexpo.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, and strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Since disaster can strike at any time, you always need to be prepared. And not just with an insurance policy. Superstorm Sandy left thousands of people starving and stranded for weeks. You need to be prepared with an emergency supply of food. Now through April 30th, save up to 25% on freeze-dried food. During the freeze-dry guy makes and match number 10 can sale. Freeze-dried food packed in heavy-duty double enameled number 10 cans. With over 99% of the oxygen removed, it has the longest shelf life of any food available. Over 25 years. Choose from entrees, meats, vegetables, fruits, and desserts. All made in the USA. Just add hot water, wait 10 minutes, and serve. And a taste absolutely delicious. Free shipping to 48 states. Now through April 30th, save up to 25%. Visit freezedryguy.com. freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. 866-404-3663. Act today. Don't miss out.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We have George Knapp with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. We continue asking your questions. In our previous segment, you mentioned here you don't believe Lazar's degrees are genuine. I can see the reason. But let me ask you a question that Ricky asks here, which was question number 5, which relates to this. If Lazar were proved to be a fraud, would you say so on the air on Coast to Coast?
Yes, of course I would. I mean, you know, that's my job. That would be my job. I don't know what proof there would be to do that. You'd have to have somebody who had worked for the inside who comes forward with definitive proof that it was untrue. It's hard to prove a negative, I guess. But I think that Bob is telling the truth. I think he probably exaggerated his educational credentials, but I think a lot of people exaggerate their background to get a good job, and I wouldn't blame him to get this particular job. Here's what it boils down to for me. I always thought the central question is, if he worked at Los Alamos Lab in a sensitive position, then it would make sense that he could end up at Area 51 or S4. So that's where I was focused on. And I contacted the lab in the early going. They said, we never heard of him. We don't have any record that he's never been here. And, of course, then I came back and I got the lab phone book that had his name in it. I said, are you sure? Here's his name. No, we don't know how that got in there. Then I came up with the headline from the Los Alamos Monitor newspaper that had him there on the day that Edward Teller visited the Los Alamos lab. It listed him in this front page story as a physicist, and they still denied it. I interviewed people who worked with him, who some of whom are still there, who said he was there. And then he took me in one weekend. Bob Lazar took me into Los Alamos with another guy. We went through the gates. We waved at the security guys. We took our television camera in there. We went into the place where the world's largest particle accelerator at the time was, took video. He went through this place like a rabbit through its own burrow, waving at people, taking us all the facilities, showing us around, and I knew that he'd been there. Now, if Bob really was there and really did work in classified positions, which is what his coworkers told me that he was. He was working on a particular weapons program. Then it made sense to me that, A, he'd been educated somewhere. They didn't just let him waltz in the door because with no training at all. And, B, it made it plausible that he could work somewhere else, like in Area 51. I went to a company called Kirkmeyer, which is a headhunter company. That's where Los Alamos finally got flustered with me sending all these inquiries. And they said, Kirkmeyer is the one that got him, and they're a headhunter company that does recruit scientific and technical people to work at Los Alamos Lab. They initially said, oh, yeah, we recruited him, and we've got it. I said, do you have a file on him, any background? Yeah, we've got that stuff. I said, great, can I get it? Yeah, no problem. And then they clammed up. I got a stack of letters as thick as my fist between me and Kirkmeyer, and then phone calls back and forth to the Los Alamos Lab of where they promised to give me this information or denied having it, and then they just clammed up and wouldn't give me anything. He was there. He worked there. I have no question whatsoever that he was at Los Alamos. And if he worked there in a sensitive position, it means he got educated somewhere. And maybe it wasn't a degree at MIT or a master's, but it was enough to get work at one of the premier labs in the entire world. And that means that I think it's possible he could go to Area 51. Other people can look at it in a different way. That's how I look at it.
Do you think maybe he might be some sort of disinformation guy?
I don't think knowingly. He has acknowledged, and he and I have had that conversation, is it possible that you were used in this? And he acknowledges it. Sure it was. I mean, it makes no sense to him or anyone else that he's there at Area 51. The first day he's up there at S4, they show him these briefing books with all these secrets of the universe, alien body parts and pictures of flying saucers and briefings about aliens being here looking at us as containers of souls, all this crazy exotic stuff. Makes no sense that they would show him that stuff his first day at work before he actually has his final clearance. And he had clearances before, but Bob acknowledges, and I acknowledge, that it could have been some sort of a false flag operation, disinformation. I'll tell you this, though. If it was meant to distract attention away from something else that was out there, then somebody really screwed up. Because as a result of that UFO story, I mean, maybe they thought I would give up and it would all blow over in a couple of days. But we stayed with it for a long time, for years, and would do update reports. And as a result of those stories, tens of thousands of people have gone out to Area 51. They're there every day watching whatever it is that's flying around in the sky, whether it's flying saucers or advanced warplanes or whatever, or drones. Every major news organization in the world beat it past their door. The extraterrestrial highway was created. It became an international sensation, video games and bars and songs and movies and books. If somebody was just trying to distract attention from something else out there, they really screwed up.
If we assume Area 51 is what we think it is, well, maybe Area 51 is the disinformation.
Yeah, it's a heck of a big disinformation program because, I mean, every day you can see the planes flying in and out. You can see the people getting on it to go to work, and you can see them coming off, coming home and disembarking at night. You can see the hangars that have been added to the facility, the gigantic runways. Sometimes you can see planes and things taking off. I mean, if it's a deception, it's one really big ongoing deception and a multi-billion-dollar program. I think it's still a very valuable facility. I think it's the work that goes out there is vital to national security. And maybe somebody figured that they would just float this as a trial balloon, put out some crazy story, and then crush Lazar like a bug. But it hasn't gone away. It resonates with people in a way that maybe not always makes logical sense.
Speaking of Bob Lazar, what is he doing nowadays?
He lives in Michigan. He had been in New Mexico. He had built a facility, his own little 30-foot-long particle accelerator that was helping him to produce his own sort of version of hydrogen fuel. He developed his hydrogen fuel system for cars. His Corvette and his four-wheel drive hadn't run on gasoline in years, although they could switch back and forth to it. He had a promise from the state of Michigan to go up there. If he'd move up there, they'd help him develop this alternate fuel system. Of course, he got screwed. Once he got there and moved lock, stock, and barrel, they changed their mind. But he's got an online business called United Nuclear. He sells scientific equipment to labs and schools and then hobbyists, a lot of weird, strange stuff that it's hard to find anywhere else. Doing real well, very happy, happily married, and happy to leave the whole UFO stuff behind.
All right, this is United Nuclear. I see a site for that. Is that him?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we'll have to check that further. Wow, the weird people that you find in the UFO field, I'll tell you. Do you think Bob Lazar is the strangest? Who would you say was the strangest person you've encountered in the years you've covered this field?
I wouldn't say that Bob is the strangest. He's actually a pretty normal guy when you get him away from the UFO subject. I, you know, Gene, you've been to these conventions before where you have, you run into people who say that they're from Venus or, you know, they, I had people, I remember when I first started this stuff, had done some stories. This lady shows up and she's got to talk to me. She keeps calling me every day. She's got to see me, got to talk to me. I said, all right, fine, fine. She shows up, at the front of the station, and within me, within 3 minutes of meeting her, she was telling me these intimate details about her sex life. She shows up with this tiny halter top, wearing this, kind of spilling out of it. She's wearing this skimpy outfit and carrying a baby. And she starts telling me the story that the aliens first came in, to see her when she was performing a sex act outside. And they beamed her up on a ship. They told her to put on a bathing suit. And while she was modeling this bathing suit for them on their flying saucer, they advised her to get breast implants, which, and I can tell you that there was ample physical evidence of this staring me in the face, that that part of the story at least was true. I met guys who have claimed to be the twin brother of Jesus Christ, alien transsexuals. I met a guy who said he had worked at secret bases, and he really did convince me that he had a military background. He said, come over, I'll show you the device I used to contact the aliens. And I went to his house, and he took me in the backyard, and it's an old bird bath with a rusted record rack on top and a car headlight attached to it. And that was his device for contacting the aliens. And so I've met some pretty crazy people. Bob Lazar isn't even close to the top 10.
George Knapp telling us about the crazy people he's met.
I suspect anyone who's been involved in the UFO field, paranormal field, for any length of time has met some crazy people. I know when I hung out with Jim Moseley in the old days and they had these monthly lectures where they bring on speakers, Jim Moseley didn't discriminate against the unserious or wacky UFO researchers. We had some pretty strange people indeed. In fact, I think our listeners remember when we were playing old segments of Bob Zanotti's Coffee Clatch radio show, we ran a segment featuring Andy Sinatra, the Mystic Barber, and he was an original propeller head. He used to wear this aluminum foil thing on his head. We've got so much more to continue with our guest, George Knapp, with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've heard about our MRE smorgasbord. Now, Long Life Food Depot introduces the most unique, safe, and longest-lasting way to stash emergency food, the Eat Pod. Most survival food products recommend an ideal storage environment, including low temps, low moisture, and low oxygen. If you're storing in a basement, too humid. Garages and attics, too hot. But the waterproof, double-walled, high-density polyethylene patent-pending Eat Pod is a unique roll-away food bunker that creates the perfect condition. Can be buried up to 30 feet and can keep your survival food supply safe, secure, dry, and virtually undetectable for 25 years or more. Get full details on the Eat Pod at eatpod.com, spelled EATPOD.com, or call 800-601-2833. That's 800-601-2833. The Eat Pod from Long Life Food Depot. Since 1983, sending real food to your real future.